Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with
my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. You know, as of in the morning, we're going to be back in the Gospels, because we will be finishing with the book of Luke and going into John. And then once we get through that, we'll be kind of splitting the week somewhat between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Right now, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word. I ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to take this service and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to the information and the truth that He gives us as we study your word, Father, to help us to build our faith and to build it stronger and to build us stronger to walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and with you in thy kingdom, so that we can make heaven our home, Father. Now, Father, be with us through this study, and I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be here now in Acts 11. Verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. You see, as they had heard this, what the Lord had done, while there was joy in heaven over the conversion of Cornelius, there was little joy there in Jerusalem. For Peter had fellowship with uncircumcised Gentiles. And Peter defends his action by reciting all of the phenomenal things God has done in bringing all of those things about. And Peter did not go by choice. You see, he was sent. Now, here are three. Saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. You see, this is where they're getting on him. Getting on Peter. Four, Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, praying and in a trance, I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Six, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. Seven, and I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But you see, all of these four-footed beasts and all the creeping things and even the birds of the air that was here with this sheet, a lot of them to the Jewish people in that day and time was unclean for them to eat. But the Lord Jesus is using this to let Peter know something else. Now, but I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth. In other words, he's letting the Lord know, no, I don't eat the unclean meats. Man. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, that call not thou come. You see, he's letting Peter know that he can no longer be choosy between mankind because they are of a different nation, are of a different way. 10. Peter says, and this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Now, 11. And behold, immediately, there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. But we know they were, and we know why they were. 12. And the Spirit bid me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brothers accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. He's not denying anything. He's letting them know why he went, because he didn't really go by choice. He was being sent by Almighty God. Now, 13. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You see now, here in 15 and 16, Peter's verse here says the Holy Spirit came on these Gentiles as on us. What happened to Cornelius is parallel to what took place at Pentecost. You see, Pentecost, they were all in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was sent back to dwell with mankind. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit in that upper room. Now here they are at his house, and the same thing is happening. This is a Gentile Pentecost. Second, Peter relates this event to what had happened to the Jews at the beginning. You know, and Peter thus describes Pentecost as the beginning of something. It is most easily understood as the beginning or birth of the church. You see, I've been telling you that for a long time, but that's what it really was. Third, Peter says, then remembered I how Christ promised that he would baptize in the Holy Spirit. It would seem that Peter has seen few dramatic outpourings of the Holy Spirit involving tongues as he did at Pentecost. And here with Cornelius, both served as signs to the Jews who were slow to accept the work of God that God was doing. And this is why they had gotten on Peter. Now, 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gifts as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And actually, he can't withstand God. And if he is going to be in obedience unto God, he's got to obey what he tells him to do. And it was him that told him to go, with nothing doubting. He did not even go with anything doubting him at all. Now, 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You see, some of them are beginning to understand that now, what God is really doing and how things are changing. because there used to be some big changes made according to the way things were. 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. You see, now we're preaching to the Jews only. 20. And some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. You see, they are some that are really believing now and turning unto the Lord Jesus. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, you know, you can take from verse 19 and all the events of that verse 19, expand on what was stated in 8, chapter 8, verse 4, due to Saul's persecution, that believers went everywhere preaching, including Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And this early preaching predates Cornelius' conversion, and so was to the Jews only. As with any history, one must not suppose that all events are in a strictly chronological order. You see, we know that as this is recorded, everything is not fixed, just chronological. The events, for example, of Paul's ministry at Jerusalem and Tarsus in chapter 9 are several years later than this happened that we're reading here now in verse 19 that we read. And as we go on with 20 through 22, for several years, possibly as many as 10 years after the gospel was first preached in Antioch, men from Cyprus and Cyrene came preaching to non-Jews. When the Jerusalem church heard of this, they sent another, Barnabas, to minister there. As you see, they've done another one. Now, we found that Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, there in 22. Verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose and heart they would cleave unto the Lord. 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now, you see, still referring to him as Saul, not Paul. 26. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians. Now listen, the disciples of Jesus were called Christians first in Antioch. That is the first place that called you and I Christians. Now, actually the name Christian was at first a derogatory term referring to the people of Christ. And we know that that was because so many was against Christ to start with, but also they were against those that were uncircumcised. And now they had even Jewish men preaching to these uncircumcised people. And it was causing a lot of misunderstanding and rejection. Now, 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Now, they're wanting to send help. And you know, here in 27 and 28, talking about Agabus, he's the first prophet of the church to be so called. And he predicted a famine, which did occur during the reign of Claudius. You know, famine that occurred there in Judea was about A.D. 46. Now then, here in the last verse, it says, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. This help that they wanted to give these people. They have now made it up, and they are sending it by Saul and them. Now, we're going to be going into chapter 12. We just finished with 11. We'll see what the Lord God's got for us here. Verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. You know, this first verse here, where he's talking about that time he's talking about really was during which the famine occurred. And Herod Agrippa, first king of Palestine and grandson of Herod the Great, began persecuting the church, according to Jehoshaphat's reckoning. This was shortly before the closing event of chapter 11, because Agrippa died in A.D. 44. Now, you know, we were told that a lot of the recording is not in chronological order, but it's all true, and it all took place. But it's the way that it's recorded that actually took it out of the chronological order. Now, don't mean it didn't take place and it didn't happen. Now, in verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. You know, what we'll find going through 2, 3, and 4, we find there in 2 that the king killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further, Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. This is the only place I have found in the Bible the word Easter that is here in this 4th verse. The James' death is the first apostolic martyrdom recorded in the scripture. Herod intended to make Peter the second martyr, and even took extreme measures to secure his imprisonment, leaving him with all them soldiers to guard him at all times. But because of Easter, and through Easter does communicate correctly the time of the year, the Greek word must be translated Passover, the time of Passover. But as we go on, he finds he can't get done what he wanted to do. Because Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You see, this is why it's so important that we all do come together as a church. Because in doing so, it will help to bring so much of God's power into being. Now, there in 5, we're told about him praying and the church praying for him. Pardon me. In 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains. He's chained to each one of these soldiers. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. Got guards outside the door. 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. You see what prayer can do? Now, 8. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garments about thee and follow me." Now, and he went out and followed him, and was not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He didn't realize that what was going on was even true. He thought he was seeing a vision and was involved in this vision. Now, 10. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. They went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now, we're seeing here an automatic gate, because the Spirit of God moved it and opened. It opened of its own accord. Now, 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews." 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She so excited and shook up, instead of letting him in, she goes back to tell him he's out there. 15. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." They figured Herod had already killed him. 16. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Well, we can imagine how that could be. 17. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brother, and he departed and went into another place. Now, you see, he's letting them know what went on. 18. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? So that angel had put them all to sleep. They don't know what happened to him. They just know he's gone. 19. And when Herod had sought him for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. Now he's going to put his guards to death because Peter's not there. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. He's in Caesarea. 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. In other words, the things they needed was coming from the king's country. 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an orientation unto them. Now, but just, I want you to think about these next verses. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of God and not of a man." Now they're calling Herod God instead of a man. 23. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. He was killed by worms, being eaten of worms, because he would not give God the glory. And you see, that's one thing we have to learn. Things that God does through us, we cannot keep the glory for it. That belongs to him. Because we can't do it. It's him working through us. And then we are to give him the glory. And it's things like this that gives you and I the knowledge of how we are to act. And how we are to walk in this life. Now, 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and looked with them and took with them pardon me, John, whose surname was Mark. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 12. But you see, we've covered a lot of things this evening. And if we listen and if we we'll meditate about what we've had. We will be able to see so much of the power and the love of Almighty God for those that will walk with Him. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for these times, Father, that we can come together. And Father, take this time to pray for those that are of this ministry, that studies with us, that looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, for Bobby and Amelia Johnson, for James Taylor, for myself, and all of our families. And Father, the young couple that I know, pray for them. They are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that they begin to understand that they need more than themselves, that they need Jesus, and that they will go to Him and repent and start on that road, Father, that will lead and take them to heaven. Now, Father, for all of us and our families, keep us, Father, in health. Keep us safe. Give us rest through the night and bring us all back together again, Father, come morning. Now, Father, Jerusalem, Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And this land of ours that has so much evil in it, a land that has been blessed by you, Father, greatly turned its back through evil leadership in our government and in some of our churches, leading people astray, causing them to believe things that are evil as being good, and things that are good as being evil. Father, help us to replace them, ones that belong to you, that are walking in righteousness, that will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance, put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, putting Jesus back into all the places he's been taken out of. Now, Father, bring us together in the morning. Let us rest through the night, but have us out, up, and going in time for our study in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And remember now that in the morning, we will be back into the four Gospels. We'll be finishing with the last chapter of Luke, and we'll be going into the book of John. So, have a great night, all of you. Hold on to the hand of God, and He'll hold on to you. Give Him praise and honor and glory, because it's all His. Have a great night. Bye-bye now.